Okay, so council meeting for Tuesday, Mall?
Yes, sir.
Tuesday, December 1st, 2020, is called war. Invocation by Councilman Jeff Bailey, followed by our pledge of allegiance.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this absolutely beautiful day we have. I thank you for the city, for our employees. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities we have. I pray your blessings upon this city, its employees, its citizens. And Lord, us as a council and a mayor, just give us patience and kindness and wisdom in all that we do. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Councilmember Silvers, we have with us today. Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Van Camp.
Here. Entertaining motion, consider twice agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with one additional item. A resolution authorizing a contract amendment with Crowder Golf for removal of large vessels.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we were considering previous minutes of our organization, regular council meeting, committee of the whole, work session on 11-2-2020. There are no objections, reading minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections, the minutes stand approved as written. Announcements? 5:30 Christmas tree lighting tonight?
5:30 Christmas tree lighting.
Maybe cold, maybe not.
It's gonna be cold.
It's cold.
Okay, any other announcements? Okay, all single accounts?
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Reading the resolutions under unfinished business, resolution authorizing execution performance contract on the Gulf Coast Convention Business Bureau hosting SEC Climate Championship.
Move to postpone.
Second.
Discussion? We will get this done. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarded bid.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Yes.
We have one more account auditing.
Swift Supply.
Auditing of accounts. Forgive me, it's at the top of the page.
I got you.
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution awarding the bid for outfitting uniforms to AdWord Specialty of Texas. Pricing for maximum term of 3 years.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? New business miscellaneous food restaurant retail liquor license. Steffi's Artisan. Steffi's Cocktails and Cuisine. Eagle Beach Boulevard.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing franchise for Quaz Cabs. Taxi service, city of Limits, police jurisdiction, Long Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution. Professional services agreement, Goodwin, Mills, K-Wood, engineering design testing.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of cooperative agreement down by the Board of Environmental Management, city, providing permitting, regulating, monitoring, inspection services. Reimbursed $34,500.
Do you have it here?
Move to adopt the resolution.
Let's go.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement, Collins Allen Hall, insurance, HR consulting.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appointing members to the Employees Lead Bank.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of a task order with Sawgrass Consulting, Coastal Resources, Trail Shop, Wildlife Center, $56,260.
Move
to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution task order, Sawgrass Consulting, Survey design for building construction, Orange Beach High School driveway redesign, $14,890.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of temporary construction easement by Baldwin County Board of Education, Orange Beach High School driveway design.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing preliminary action for proposed issuance of city's general obligation capital improvements warrants series 2021.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Board, do you want to give us a little mini presentation?
So this will basically, what this is going to allow the city to do is to go out and have our bond people, for lack of a better term, look for $50 million for the capital improvements that the council and mayor has for all the projects that we have going on. In doing this with the rates where they are now, it makes, you know, financial sense to go ahead and borrow this money. We will also be paying back the city's general fund for expenses that we have already expended out related to the Performing Arts Center. This has no impact on the big item that's coming here in a little bit. This is specific for city capital improvements that we are already having processed through the budget. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
For the audience and for those in the community, we are essentially debt-free at this time. We worked hard to get there. But we have a list of capital projects that are a mile long and probably come close to, depends on how we prioritize, between $50 and $60 million. With money as inexpensive as it is now, with money maybe not being as inexpensive after January 20th, it made sense for us to go ahead and take it, and let's put all of these projects on fast track and get them all done. It essentially doesn't change our debt service that we've had the 12 years I've been mayor, and less than 3%.
Yes. So the debt service payment, which 3 years ago we were paying about $4.8 million a year in debt service payment, on this we would pay this back over 20 years, and the yearly debt service payment will be $3.28 million. So that's still way under what we've been paying, and allows us, like you just said, to get a whole bunch of things done for the citizens in the city.
And we can, after what year, pay it off?
Normally, about year 12, you can go ahead and pay it off.
So, projects are two fire stations, renovation of the police station, justice center, sidewalks everywhere, golf cart, three lane of Canal Road. I mean, there's just a, we need to, what I'd like to do is put the list on the website.
Okay.
So everybody can see just what we're working toward.
Absolutely.
But I do think it makes no sense not to go ahead and let's just do it now, because it's all got to be done. Some of these buildings are at their end of their life. I mean, they're adequate, but they're overcrowded. So I think we're all in agreement that this is the best way to proceed to get it all done and be done with. And since this is such a big deal, if there's anybody else that has any questions or would like to participate in the discussion, you're welcome to jump in on this one. Okay, Ford, thank you.
All right, and this is just to have them go get it, so obviously I'll be bringing back the full packet once they, but it will, since we already have our AA+ bond rating that Moody's affirmed, it will come very quickly.
Gotcha. And the bond rating we've worked so hard to maintain, in the worst of times, is what allows us to move as quickly and with a fair interest rate. Which is. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution contract number 7 for Crowder Gulf, removal of large vessels related to Hurricane Sally.
Yeah, what this is doing is just changing to a price per foot. If you remember, we had three large boats that had to be negotiated case by case. Crowder Gulf and Philip West have decided it's better to have a price per foot moving forward for those 50 foot and above boats. So this is what that's
it, it is. Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion?
Philip, how many do we have left? Any?
We We've got two that we've targeted, so we'll hold about 12.
Okay. Thank you.
That's much better than we thought. How many are still out there? Do you know? Very few?
Very few. Less than 10.
And while we're on the subject, can you give us an update on the sonic surveillance of the bottom of the seabed, kind of where there might be debris? Do we have any update on that at all?
No, we haven't started. We're still going to do a test of about three different shorelines, 1,000 feet each, see what we find, and then we'll pull the trigger on doing the whole area. Water got clear, got dry, kind of drought. We can see more from the air, so we know there's a lot. And we just got the permit. Woody sent me yesterday from the Corps for us to be able to remove the debris from the bottom.
Perfect. Thank you, Philip.
Will this include the islands as well? Some of the larger islands?
Yeah, we've cleaned up the islands. Okay.
But so, I'm talking about underneath.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Going back to the boats, I think, initially there was 650 boats rounding. So in 2 months or so, we moved almost 650 boats. And nobody in a million years thought we could do that. So McInnes and David Green and Crowley Goff, all those guys, really appreciate them. The insurance company's working with us. So I think it was a massive effort. Unbelievable. So unless you know how big a deal it was, you don't know how big a deal it was.
One of the biggest slowdowns on boats were a boat maybe in a yard, we might have the cranes there ready to move them, but the homeowner wouldn't allow it because they wanted to know if their driveways got cracked or something got busted, who was paying for it. So there was just a lot of movement getting those parts in place.
Mayor, we feel very strongly that boat owners will probably not let this happen again.
Let's hope so.
Just a hunch. Just a hunch.
There's a joke in there. moving to public, can we vote?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to public hearings. The way this works is we'll have a presentation from staff, then we'll have questions from council, then we'll open it up to the floor and close it back and move on. So, first public hearing is Coastal Beach Development.
Yes, this is on the Planning Commission held a meeting yesterday, and I considered this application, gave it a favorable recommendation on 9-0 vote. The project is located 25610 and 25722 Perdido Beach Boulevard. It's across the street from the shops at Home Point Retail Center. Present zoning of the property is BR2. This is preliminary and final PUD approval to rezone 8 plus acres from BR2 to plan new development for a beachfront development consisting of a restaurant and parking and a public beach and public beach parking. The applicant states that the PUD complies with the beach resort district and also the future land use map and the comprehensive plan, and also it meets 10 of the 12 PUD design objectives. If we go to the next slide, we'll get into the PUD proposal, the components, number one being a retail and a restaurant building, 3 stories in height, gross floor area of 37,400 square feet, of which 32,400 square feet would be the restaurant and 5,000 is retail. Be about a 40-foot setback from the east lot line, and then there'll be surface parking a little more than 153,000 square foot coverage area. With the surface parking, there's 443 total spaces, 245 are open spaces for the restaurant, and then 198 are public beach spaces, of which 102 are dedicated for public beach parking. That's in the area M on the master plan. And then you have 96 that are shared spaces between the beach and the restaurant. That's in area N on the master plan, as you see on the screen. Go to the next slide, and we just see the table of the parking analysis for the planning and development. When we get into requested deviations, there is a slight reduction for the restaurant component. The restaurant requires 324 220 are dedicated to the restaurant. You do have those 96 shared spaces that's in Area N. So that brings it to 316, which is eight less than what is required for restaurants. And then the other is the exclusion of the internal parking islands within the parking area. But you do have the inn landscape areas. If we go to the next slide, we get into the public beachfront. There will be 198 parking spaces and then 800 feet of beach area. And then other amenities include public restroom on the west side. Boardwalk along the beachfront. We have a dune walkover and pedestrian-oriented areas required by the Beach Overlay District along Highway 182. They'll also have a sidewalk, and then there will be a civic landmark tower at the base of the 182-161 intersection. If we go to the next slide, we'll look at the architectural elevations of the proposed restaurant, and then we go to the next. I'll give you another elevation. And we go to the next slide. This is the elevation of the civic landmark towers that will be at the 182-161 intersection. And next slide. These are Google areas with the restaurant, the parking area graphics applied. We go to the next slide. This will give us another angle or another view. And then if we go to the next slide, this would give it as you're looking from the Gulf. And then the next slide will be the back in 2013 or 2014, there was a project called Ascension and Grace. It was two condominium towers, laid around 276 total units that was applied for the site. And again, that was back 2013 or 2014. Next slide. And this is just the staff conditions that were discussed yesterday. The first two deals with what I call site data table accounting, just making sure all the numbers add up. Clarifying the 96 parking spaces in Area N, how that will be shared between the beach and the restaurant. Details about the architectural exterior cladding for the restaurant, just a note being provided. Removing the driveway connection to the neighboring property to the west, and then executing a replat of Lot 1 of the Oxford re-subdivision that was approved by Planning Commission last month. Correcting flood zone information, making sure that the building restaurant building complies with the flood zone. Revising the plan to show accessible routes from the handicapped parking spaces to the accessible entrance of the restaurant. Getting concurrence from Alabama DOT for the driveways to 182. Additional consultation with Fish and Wildlife for beach lighting and also the landscaping, beach boardwalks, complying with the dune protection guidelines, and increasing the roadway width to a minimum required width in front of the restaurant and providing the required hammerhead. And also consideration of dedicated or future lifeguard facility or similar public safety facility. And we go to the next slide. And this is just another view, so if you have any questions or...
Thank you, Rick. Mm-hmm. I think at this time I want to take the opportunity to present the city's involvement on our behalf. So I think, unfortunately, some of you have to sit through this sermon again. I apologize. But y'all know we have been looking for beachfront property for years, but it never made sense dollar for dollar and the return on what we could purchase. The issue being high density condo pricing obviously was at the top of the market. That was your larger tracts that would be beneficial to us as a city to purchase. Residential pricing on the beach, 25-35%, I guess, per square foot, less expensive, but it was not possible, or we had not been able to find large sections that made sense or would accommodate beachgoers in the way we would like to have done. A lot of the larger tracts of residential were still priced at high density because they feel like eventually they will see their property rezoned for condominium. I don't think that's the case as long as we're mayor and council, but I think they think that it will. So we really have not been able to find something that just made any sense. It would make no sense to go spend $20, $22 million a year for people to go to the beach 10 weeks out of the year and then three days out of those 10 weeks. That just didn't make sense to me, and I think all of us felt that way. So the reason this public partnership works is because this will be deeded to the city 400 feet plus, 410, 15, something like that, feet of beachfront, and it'll be fee simple. We'll own it. We'll be paying, most developers, from what I understand and talking with them, are paying in the $49, $50 per square foot to $57 per square foot for condo development, high density development. We're paying for our 400 feet about $60 a square foot. So we're up on the slightly on the high side. However, because we're splitting the property with a private entity and we have an agreement for shared parking and shared beach, for the same $60 a square foot for 400 feet, we're actually getting 800 plus feet of usage. They're getting additional parking so that the restaurant will work. The Cotton Bayou access, that's the state, is about right at 500 feet and 160 parking places. This is 450, give or take. So you can see the difference in the ability to provide access to the public, to the beach. This will also have the fantastic amenity in the restaurant, bar, music, restrooms, those types of things. So it is an event, or it can be a destination now to go to the beach. It's just not to go down, spend the day in the sand. So I think for us, the money we're spending offers so much more than we could get in any other scenario. Still a lot of money. But at the same time, I think it's the best deal we'll ever see, short of everything going to hell in a handbasket. And then we won't spend the money on it at that time anyway. But y'all jump in with anything I left out.
The reduction in density, out there being a condominium, two condominiums there, and the number of cars that were put.
Right. Put the slide up for me on the ones we had yesterday with the tower superimposed. Are you going the wrong way?
Yeah, no, that was started at the end. That's,
I don't know if it's in there.
No. May not be
that. Did you provide it to Chris?
No, this. That's what Griffin sent.
You don't have it on thumb drive?
No.
Anyway.
Let me see if I can.
So
276 units have been approved, 30 plus towers. Right next to it, to the east, was a PUD we just approved that built those residential homes, short term rental, but residential, instead of a 10 foot tower. So instead of having three towers, we're not anti-condo, but we think, in talking to most people in town, if there was ever a place to preserve a view and the openness, this was the place to do it. And I wish we had that, so you could see just how much difference it is. So,
I think we had it in planning, if anybody has it.
You got it.
But there is a cost to not having condos there, because they have a right to do it. So I think consensus is we're willing to spend the money. I know for us, I think it is, but I think the community is in line with that as well.
So one of the ways we had to look at this was, the way I looked at it, 10 to 20 years out, is this a good thing for the citizens of Orange Beach? When you consider you're coming out 161 and you're going to have an opening to the beach, you're going to have a tower, and you're going to have an access destination point to go to, is it worth it for us to pay the price for the property and to pay the price to not have condos there? Because if they close on the deal, as part of this PUD, would be the requirement that they have to close on the deal and get this done, they lose the right to build condos on that location. And you can see the size of the condos they should build. If the deal doesn't go through, that still lies there as an opening for the developers of that property. So it's only contingent upon this PUD. And the only way they would get those condos back in the future would be to come in front of another city council. But this PUD has to go through, and they have to close on it for us to be able to get that. You can kind of see there in the yellow, That would be the one to the left, the smaller one. Those houses are being built already. That's a separate PUD. But the two big ones, that was the Ascension, the Grace buildings that were going to go in that spot. For us, it's a valuable payoff for the citizens of Orange Beach. And they, that, Chris, that was it right there.
Was that right here?
Yeah, right there.
There you go. Yeah, right there.
So that puts in perspective what the difference would be. And so we had to look at it as a council as well. That would be all new customers in those buildings on a daily basis or a weekly basis. The restaurant is pretty much going to take care of people that are already here and existing. 1,000 people from either direction will be able to walk to the restaurant, which will alleviate even more cars on the road, as opposed to new condos. So all those came into effect, but the bottom line was, is it good for the citizens, and is something we should do for a 20-year plan? That's the way I approached it.
Another question was our traffic flow. What we think. There's a lot of things we're going to work out with, and I'm going to have John and Cam present their restaurant and what they're going to do on their side with Coastal LLC. But we'll have three entrances into the parking lot, all right in. That way, I think we'll be able to keep traffic from backing up on 182 at any point in time. There'll be one exit, and it'll be a right out. That exit will be gated. So I want to make this clear. This is not State Park. This is not a public access point that is free. This is going to cost for you to use this parking and go on the beach. We plan to reserve 100 places for residents, but I don't want to say that's in stone, because I can almost guarantee you 100 spaces in a very short period of time is going to be nothing. That place is going to be rocking and rolling in the summer. But that is our goal, to have 100 spaces dedicated. And on certain days and certain times, we'll add another 92 or 96. So you'll have almost 100 spaces dedicated to residents. And we're working that out. So what would happen is, you'd come in as a resident, you'd have a placard, a sticker, whatever. And when you went through the gate, it would be recognized and you would pass it for no charge. If you don't have a placard, or you're not in the time frame that the additional parking places are reserved, you will will either have to pay a fee to have parked there, or show a receipt where you bought something in a restaurant or bar for a certain amount, and that would be validated, and it would be no charge. So, bottom line is, we don't have those huge condos blocking our view at that point there where we all traverse. We do have access for 450 cars now to get to the beach with an amenity. And I think it's money well spent. I feel like 800 feet of beach. It's a lot of beach. So,
I'm so happy.
just for you.
Thank
just
you.
For you, Mr.
Thank you.
I
just want to repeat my excitement from Planning Commission, please. We've worked on this for so many years, and never the perfect place or price. And for us to be able to entertain a project on this piece of sand is, to me, the most exciting thing we've ever done. This is the center of our city, and it will not be a wall of concrete. It will be a beautiful open vista that we can all enjoy. So I am very, very excited, and I thank you guys for the proposal.
Let me clarify. We're not anti-condo.
We
would not be able to buy this beach.
We are not anti-business.
We could not buy this beach if it wasn't for the condos in town. So
exactly.
We want to thank those guys, and there will be more condo development because they have a right to. But this is just a situation where it worked out. I think everybody wins.
Yes.
Everybody wins. All right, Cam, John, whoever would like to speak to the restaurant.
Hey guys, my name is Cameron Price. I'm one of the developers and a resident here in the city of Orange Beach. I really love this place. I feel so fortunate to have ended up here. I grew up in Southern California, and I've had the great opportunity to live and all over the world and to visit a lot of places around the world. And this place really is paradise. And, you know, I look at this piece of property here. It's such an iconic piece of property for the city. It's right at the terminus of 161 and the Beach Highway. It has so much ability. And, you know, at the Planning Commission, I talked yesterday about, you know, the perception of highest and best use, and, you know, from the standpoint of financial stuff, you think about highest and best use, and it's crystal clear that the highest and best use of this property is high-rise condominium. But when I personally look at the site and I think about highest and best use as a resident of the city, and also with what I do, like I'm in the food and beverage business, I think this is such an incredible opportunity to do something special where you can have something that's preserved for the entire city. You know, growing up in Southern California, you know, we had the opportunity to go out to the beach in Newport Beach and Huntington Beach, and there were fire pits on the beach, and it was a gathering place for the community. And, you know, as a kid growing up out there, that's what we did. We went to the beach, to the sand, to the fire pits, and had an awesome time. And to be able to provide something like that jointly with the city on this piece of property is really awesome. John and I have been involved in, you know, several different restaurant projects. As you guys know, we own the Floribama, which is right across the state line in Perdido Key, Florida. And we've been involved in that for the last 10 years and really helped grow it into what it is. And, you know, being such a part of the community over there, both on both sides of the road, or on both sides of the state line in Florida and in Alabama, really trying to support as much as we can and get as engaged as we can in the community. About 3 years ago, we opened up a project over in 30A called Shunk Gully, which is named after a reef that's directly offshore from the site. And we really focused on, you know, kind of coastal, outdoor, fine dining over there. And we created a facility that's about, you know, 6,000-7,000 square feet over there. It's all open air. It's two stories. It's across the street from the beach, kind of overlooking the Gulf of Mexico on 30A. And it has been an absolutely tremendous success, really well received by tourists and by the community over there. And it really became, when we started looking at this property, it became kind of the idea for what we wanted to be able to bring over here. And you know, they're about as far apart as you can get between the Floribama, the last great American roadhouse, you know, five-star honky-tonk, and Shunk Gully over in 30A, which is real. I mean, it could jump right out of the pages of coastal living. And when we think about what we want to do here in Orange Beach with that building, it's to model it after the concept and the success that we've had over in 30A with Shunk Gully. And so you can see kind of the open-air dining on the new building. You know, it's basically three floors of about 10,000 square feet apiece, you know, half indoor, half outdoor. Even the indoor dining will feel like it's outdoor. So, you know, we'll only close it down during the off season. But really, that's what we're going for. And we believe that it can come to fruition here. And we are so excited about the opportunity, not just to open a restaurant on the beaches here in Orange Beach, but also to help be part of kind of what this ultimately will become for the city and all the residents of the city. So thank you guys very much for your consideration. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cam.
Hey, guys. John McInnes, Cameron's partner. I've lived in Orange Beach, I guess, 20, 25 years now. Cameron did a great job. I don't have too much to add. The project will be very southern, very coastal, very representative of our area. And Shunk Gully is a great example of what we're aiming for. We'll continue to work on the details of not only the site but the project with the city. Make sure, like, it's very important to us because we do live here, that everybody is perfectly happy with this project. We don't want this to be a divided, you know, subject. Like, we want everybody excited about it. And like Cameron said, a lot of the beach communities that I've been to in my life and seen, the public had access to the beach. Like, that's the piece they did right. And when I, you know, growing up down here, we've been really blessed with the wharf and the sportsplex and, like, having a gathering place. But, you know, most of the beach areas we have are state park. And so we're limited to what we can do. And so I'm excited, you know, about the business opportunity, of course, but I'm equally excited about a gathering place on the beach that we can take our kids and all, you know, the city could have events or do whatever it wanted to. Cameron and I are open book. Anybody here can have our cell number or email address. You can call, ask any questions you have about anything at any time. Happy to meet with you at any time you want. But as we move forward and try to get this done, this is a very hard project to get done, but we're going to give it our best shot, and we feel we can't thank the city enough. You've been very supportive and open. I appreciate your help eliminating condos. Ultimately, it's probably not in our best interest, but it's definitely in the best interest of the city and y'all are making that possible. I really don't have anything else to add other than thank you for your support. And if anybody has any questions, please get our cell number or email address. And this will be an ongoing process as we move forward over the next few months and discuss further details. So thank you.
Let me get, is there something you need to do right this minute? No. To break my train of thought, I will never get back. The when we started, there's three different options. And one of them was with a condominium built by John and Cam on the far west end of the 800 feet. And as we talked it through, the only way that would work would be for them to build it, give us a small piece of the property fee simple, and then the restaurant. And I didn't feel like that the parking was not going to be adequate. I felt like we were going to have a condo, then we were going to have another parking deck, essentially we were going to negate the entire purpose of what we were trying to do. So I suggested that we eliminate the condo. Well, to eliminate the condo, there's only one way to eliminate the value of that property, and that's somebody put up cash, and that was us. So that is the reason, one of the reasons that we got to the number we're at of what we had to pay for the property was to create a number on their side of the line that created a land value that was conducive to a restaurant working without there being a condominium. So that was on us to be able to fill that delta between the land costs. And as we talked about it, we thought, well, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. So John and Cam agreed, let's get rid of the condo, let's find that fair number, and that's what we did. Now, one option in the future is going to be, if it is an unbelievable success, a parking deck. So if we build a parking deck, and we're looking at whether it be a cooperative district, some type of tax district or fee, like Tanger has, that we'll start putting money toward a deck or improvements, that would be helpful, but it's still going to be expensive. But to accommodate what we think we would have to accommodate to build a parking deck, you're probably going to be at 7 or 8 floors. So when you put a 7 or 8 floor parking deck on this property, you're back to where you're going to have an obstruction. And it would be on the west end. The trade-off for that obstruction and the blockage of your view corridor will be 200 to 300 spots that will be the city's, needed to the city. So now you will have access to the beach and resident parking, and then several hundred above for the restaurant and the restaurant on top of the parking deck. Upside of that, again, is resident has more parking. We add 800, 900 spaces. We add another restaurant, which is a great amenity. We get more taxes. So, but you do have a big 8-story building sitting there. And I'm afraid once we get used to being nothing there, nobody's going to want a parking deck there. But at the same time, everybody's going to want to park there for free. So I can't wait to this, see how this shakes out.
So. Well, and I think one thing it does, if you do add a low-rise garage in the future, it opens up a lot of the ground floor area where there's parking now is green space. So it almost, you lose a little visibility on the west side, but you start to gain more of a park feel across the property.
Yeah, and I think that's a good trade-off.
Right? And Tony, I think you made a great point, and that's what I don't think a lot of people had visibility on. When we submitted this, it was half the property was a restaurant, the other half was a condo. And the city said, look, don't build a condo. Let's figure out how to make that public. And that's what we did.
So I have another question from someone who was concerned about if the restaurant failed.
Yeah.
You guys were a car wreck.
Whatever. Yep.
And we have addressed that, and we've talked about it. That's one reason we're buying 400 feet. That's city property. There's nothing going to be built there. That is city property. The 400 feet next to us will be a PUD. It will not be any longer zoned high-density condo. The only way, like I think someone said, for that to happen would be a rezoning of that 400 feet, and that would be an upzoning over what it currently is. So that would be a mayor and council decision. Now, what I want to research, and I said this is one of those situations where we have to negotiate from the position that they have to be successful. It can't be, and it's a most nation, a favored nation status both ways. We got to take care of each other, because if they fail, then we don't have a good situation either. So we're trying our best to figure out how do we not encumber their property in any way that would depreciate or devalue it, but at the same time maintain the current zoning.
Yeah.
And I think we can do that because of the money we're putting up. And it may be that we need to restrict that property to never be high density. There are things that we can do, I think, or want to work toward that would not encumber the value of their property in any way and protect us. So we're looking into that and trying to do the best we can so that both entities are successful going forward in whatever economic climate may come our way.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, because at the end of the day, we live here, we want the city protected, and the city would own fee under this fee simple title to the property. They would have a legal easement that's not undoable by us on the beach, giving the city 400 foot of ownership, 800 foot of use of beach. And then, God forbid, anything didn't go good with the restaurant, that's solely on us financially. But in terms of that piece of property, it's like we're giving up the right to do anything other than what's on this board. So like,
that's right.
It's financially on us, and if for any reason it didn't work out, the city controls it. Like the city would not allow. I mean, the city's totally in control. Nothing else could be done on that piece of property other than what's approved right there.
So, and we have talked about a right of first refusal, but right of first refusal only gives you the option to pay obviously market value. Doesn't mean you get. Unless it's written in, but that would be, again, they couldn't borrow any money if it was written in that we would pay back what they spent for it today. It just wouldn't work. So we will quite possibly have the right of first refusal to buy at market value, or something of that nature. And again, we got to even look further into that and the legalities of that from both sides to make sure we both win if that is a possibility. So
I think it shows the advantages of a private-public partnership. And I'm a big supporter of private-public partnerships, because you leverage the dollars where both entities will achieve more than what they could alone. And in this case, it's good. The free market is going to determine your success as far as a restaurant.
Right.
And y'all are good business people, and I'm confident that everything's going to be fine. Will it be the same what it is what you start with down the road? Who knows? But still, it's a great concept, and the free market's going to respond very well to that. The city gets beachfront property, and it is beautiful beachfront property, not just a section you can walk out there. You can walk out there and you can see the sun rise to the east, you can see the sun set to the west. So it is to me a great advantage of showing how those partnerships work. So I'm excited that we have the city with the leadership where we are now, and also with y'all with your leadership and your successes that you've had, it's a great time to bring both together to make a project that everyone's going to be very, very proud of.
I'm a little harder than Jerry. I expect y'all up at 4 a.m. to work at it. It's what's going to make this successful, not necessarily for enterprise. But one thing we had to look at was, I look at a condo, and if you've been here often, when we build a condo, we approve a PUD for a condo. I usually say that it is our manufacturing facility. I look at every time a door opens and closes, it's like a widget being made, and we make taxes off of it. So we are condo friendly. We have been very condo friendly, but every one we've done, we've been able to work with the developer to bring it lower than what they could have built by right and make it beneficial for the city. In this situation, we ran the tax dollars on what this restaurant is, their pro forma looks like, and what we think we'll get back. And for my, to make it balance a little better for me, it's going to take a little over 20 years for us to do it, but the revenue off of that will pay back that site for what we're paying for. So it did help balance it for me quite a bit, looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It'll start generating sales tax immediately.
Yes.
Yep. Anybody have any more questions?
I think there's a royalty that we get off of Full Bama.
Just so y'all know, I've asked John a dozen times to move the entrance to the Full Bama to the Alabama side.
Yeah.
But Alabama's alcohol is 30% higher than Florida, so it makes sense why he hasn't done
it. We just annexed Perdido Key is what we need to see.
any more questions for me?
I want to thank you for doing something for the residents and for the city and preserving. I know you live here, but it's good for all. I think it's a win-win.
Well,
thank you.
And we didn't set out to do it. It just kind of all fell into place. So hopefully we can all make it happen.
Yeah. The elevation there is about 17 feet, am I correct?
Yeah, it'll be, the finished floor should be 17 to 19 feet.
Yes. And it's, 2022 is when you hope to have the restaurant open?
Yeah, the plan would be to, in the rush, is to try to break ground by this spring, which would allow us to open, what, that'd be 2022, so a year from this spring.
And if we can get, and it's something we haven't talked about, but it's, if we can stage it such that your construction and lay down yard still allows us to do improvements so that we can get folks to the beach.
Yep.
We might want to
expedite that. Yeah. Yeah. We will. Yeah, I think we could expedite that.
Sooner than 2022 is what I was getting at.
So. Yes.
I think another point is the gentleman from 68 Ventures are here. I see y'all. And y'all have had to work with the city and with John and Cam on this project to make this happen as well. And I understand where you sit. We sat with Nathan back on Ascension Grace, and we were condo-friendly at that point. We will continue to be supportive of it as a city. But we just thank you all for your efforts and kind of seeing our vision of where we're headed with this and for working with everybody to try to get this done.
Absolutely. So we're very excited about the project.
I saw your faces when I said we're taking away the right to build condos.
If we close.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Look, it'd be beautiful to have condos there too. I just think, and we all believe that you should be able to do what you're entitled to with your property, period. But I think we all would, in this area, would love to see this happen if we could make it happen. So. And I'm not going anywhere. Again, if anybody wants my cell number or Cam's or our email or wants to talk after, let us know.
Okay. Any other questions, guys, or thoughts? Okay, if not, I'll open it up. Yes, Kit. I'm sorry.
Kit Alexander, Community Development. We do have representative here from GCOF, the 68 Ventures people. One of the things they've made very clear is that this PUD rezoning, they only support it if it's tied to the closing of the property. So the motion to approve this PUD needs to include that this PUD rezoning shall only occur upon closing of the developer from the current owner. So I do ask that you include that in your motion. We also ask that you refer to staff conditions in your motion. This development team, everything happened very quickly because we have a very tight timeline, when it happens really quickly, unfortunately, some of the little details aren't able to be addressed, but they're very, very minor. And so I just want to make sure we reference staff conditions. And I also want to bring to your attention that the developer has been working closely with the builder directly east of this property, the Bluffs, the single family residential development. They did show up yesterday and request that council consider requiring a fence along the property line just north of the CCL, because this is going to be an active outdoor venue type situation. And he did ask that you all consider it. Currently is not shown on the PUD, so maybe if you could consider that in your motion also. So those are the three conditions. If you could consider them, I appreciate it.
I have no problem with the conditions. The staff conditions can't be too rigid, because we are trying to work through the give and take of the sweating the small stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we want to qualify that, but
I don't know how a fence is going to look. This is a three-story project, and those are three-story homes.
Well, I'm not opposed either to adding in it that if the decision is made to move the building to the west and accommodate it under staff requirements, just shifting it to get them a little further from the line. I know that was brought up yesterday, and Mr. Head was there yesterday. The other thing is, one of the planning commissioners asked me, I saw him this morning, and asked me what the rush was. So if anyone may be thinking, that Kit kind of alluded to it, there's a benefit to them closing by the end of the year, and it's a great benefit. So it helped everyone to make it happen quicker. So we had to have a call yesterday for planning and zoning a couple of hours earlier, so this could happen by the end of the year. So that was the only reason that this didn't go down the normal change. And the reason we asked that, I'm saying it because someone may say, well, why did you do it for them and you didn't do it for us? This was a benefit to the city. It's a private-public partnership, and it was a benefit to make it happen by the end of the year with quite a substantial amount of money to it. So that's why we considered it this way.
As far as moving the building to the west, we lose parking places? We've already looked at that. So unless there is a business advantage moving it to the west, then I don't suggest we do. I don't think it's a fence. I mean, our fence.
Parking is going to be in a premium.
It is. So if he wants a fence, that's fine. But I would almost bet those are short-term rentals, and he's going to have a greater demand on the short-term rentals because of that restaurant next door and the beach, just like Fort Valley and Phoenix 10.
Exactly.
As he will if it wasn't there. So I don't see any downside to you guys being next to the short-term beachfront rentals. I may be wrong there, but that would be my... But if all he's asking for is a fence... I'm sure
you don't know. John, you've already alluded that you've talked to Mr. Head, you're friends with him, so just we're going to have to put it in there, but you guys work that out.
Yeah, we he and I have met several times, and we've told him we'd work with him whether we pay for a fence, he paid for a fence, we did one together, we did it on our property, we figure that out. And we discussed if we did move the building to the west, we would probably have to downsize the restaurant, so it would be done in a way where you didn't lose parking, so we're aware of that. And then the other thing I'll say is... This is not floor bound. Floor bound is great. It is what it is. But there's a lot of difference between... This is purely family friendly. It's not dependent on live music all the time. It will follow the strict, you know, noise guidelines. Like, I promise you, Cameron Price and I do not want to get phone calls about noise or traffic every day for the rest of our life in this city. I used to get enough from floor bound until that crosswalk. So... we're very, like Kit said, like we intentionally put three entrances into the property and one exit. If somebody has to wait to get out, that's a lot better than somebody waiting to get in. We're thinking through all these things, and we the last thing is traffic. Like, I get concerned about that too. I've got to drive past there to go to Fort Bema every single day of the year, and the amount of cars that would park on this site in any scenario are far less than if this was maximized for condos. I mean, if you start doing three or 400 units, three cars per condo, I mean, it's a lot more than what we're talking about here. And the reason Floribama has always had traffic is you have a million people a year crossing the road. Like, that's the issue. It's not the traffic going to the bar or restaurant. So this is different because you don't have anybody crossing the road. It's just a normal restaurant. And as we all know, there's not a restaurant in town that backs up traffic. So with that said, that's okay. All I have to
add. Well, it's important the business model work, and that's number one priority. So.
And just so you guys know, in the ordinance, we've already added the staff conditions, and then on the next page, Chris, is the last section, is the contingency the zoning will revert back to BR2 if Island Entertainment doesn't close by May 31st, 2021. And so the only contingency that you'll need to address, I think,
the
is the fencing. Yes.
Okay.
Can y'all read that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Y'all done? Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
They've reviewed it. We sent it to them.
Okay, good. Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
And the fence will be handled administratively, no?
If it's going to be a requirement, it needs to be a motion of the PUD.
Well, okay. Is it a requirement?
That's up to the council.
I think in good faith we ought to make it one, just because the developer is the only one that's come and talked against it anyway, and all he asked for was a fence. I just think if...
Well, he asked for a buffer.
Well, he's going to have the buffer that is dictated by the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. And well, he can plant all the trees he wants, and it's 1 feet, yeah. 1 feet, 8 inches between his fence and the pool.
And I have to have a fence right there too.
Yeah.
So,
y'all just work that out. I mean, we're going to state it, and I think we'll state it as a buffer fence. But I think I'm malleable on that subject. That y'all, Mr. Head settled, the people there settled, you're settled. That's really not a big issue for me. I mean, you really don't want to get a fight match over it. So just work it out.
Since we already gave him leeway. We gave him
way more east than we usually do.
Than we usually do.
So I see you shaking your head, Jimmy boy. It's all right.
They pay for his fence.
No, we just work
we'll
it out.
We'll work it out.
Good fences make good neighbors. All right. Okay. Anything else, guys? Anybody else? Any other questions or thoughts? Yes, ma'am?
I have one. I think, John, you answered it. But here in y'all's time frame down here this month,
Will had been here 43 years, so. And we were there at the floor battle when it was wrought iron and lemonade. But we're excited about and proud of y'all for doing and spending our money this way. But the one question totally in the neighborhood, since especially Sally took care of a lot of our sound barriers, mm-hmm. our natural sound, is the music, yep. the live music. Mm-hmm. And because there's a lot of neighborhoods, condos, hotels, clubs, and all that. And I just wanted to say it out loud publicly that we really, really, there would be a lot of opposition. Mm-hmm. I know we have our wonderful sound ordinance. Right. They've tweaked it. Y'all have done a great job on that. But there are also music venues that you can buy. There are ways around it. Mm-hmm. And we don't want ways around it starting to happen. Yeah. Just so we can afford a city having a public beach. Does that make sense?
Would you kindly state your name for the record?
Yes, yes. We really need you to come to the
record. I would have, but I thought y'all were leaving. So.
No, no, we still have more to do.
All right, Cherry Russell, Cotton Bower.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Ms. Russell. Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately, and again, I don't think you ever want to bring it up for a band, but for a band is music driven. And so this is driven by the view and the food and a family atmosphere. Music is, you know, it'll have live music, but it'll be down on the list. This property is so wide that we can angle the music away from, like, the residences next door when we do have it. So there will be music, but again, we live here in Small City. We don't want phone calls all the time about it, so we'll be very sensitive to it. And it's not a primary driver of people going to this site.
Yes, sir.
Will this be classified as an entertainment district in the future, so you can walk around and have a drink in hand while you're out on the property?
I think if we, I don't care, did we get
we were only granted two, we would have to ask for a third.
Well, we're sent the legislature now to get more, so if we got more, that would be good. Okay.
So we have requested it through the legislature. It is a legislative action.
I'm sorry, could I get your name?
John Harris.
Tater Harris. Well, there's going to be a huge difference between four battles, you know, obviously
this
not.
This is not for Bama West.
No. I have a VIP pass to four Bama. They won't let me in Strumbler. So, I will tell you the difference right there.
You will receive those passes, is that what you're saying?
Jeff Smith, 5504 East Perdido. We're spitballing ideas for the parking deck. What about to the east of Publix out there, and just having a walkover for the Perdido Beach Boulevard?
The problem there is acquiring the property. You're talking about on the north side of the road? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's acquiring the property.
And they're very proud of that property.
Yeah, very. But it is absolutely something we looked at and still going to look at and see if it is a possibility. So, and if there ever was a place to have a crossover, that would be the place to do it.
Yes.
They also, the other part of the, they also have parking on Canal Road with 8 acres they have that they'll probably make employee parking and shuttle them back and forth to save parking spots. So that is also part of the conversation.
Good idea, Jeff. Thank you. Jeff.
The other point I wanted to make, Mayor, was we went through the learning process of the U-turns on Perdido Beach Boulevard. But this project could have never happened if you don't have U-turns, because it's going to be right in, right out, which is very safe, and it'll be very quick as far as getting people in, and I think overall it will be the same way when they exit. So all the time and all the months it took for us to get used to it. And number one, it's accomplishing what it was intended to, because the number of accidents in that section is dramatically reduced. And then number two, this development could happen because it can be right in and right out. So just one of the advantages of doing that.
I just have a comment. I don't see how not being successful when you're going to be on the water when you can eat. I mean, that's just awesome. There's just not enough of those.
Thank you. So the time? Anybody else? Okay, then we'll close the public hearing.
And we'll move on. Okay, public hearing. Harbor Club, portion of Lot 2 rezoning.
Griffith? Yes, this is located at the end of Griffith Marina Road. It's south of the spyglass townhouses. Property or the section that's in question is currently zoned general business. This is a request to rezone the north 550 feet of Lot 2 of the Harbor Club subdivision from GB to MR to allow for the same zoning for the entire lot. Planning Commission considered this at November's meeting, gave it a favorable recommendation on a 6-0 vote. If we go to the next slide, see the map. Lot 2 is outlined in the yellow. The blue indicates the MR zoning, and the red indicates the general business zoning in that section where the arrow is pointing. That's the subject of this rezoning request. And basically, we're going to turn that red area into blue. If we go to the next slide, this is just a boundary survey. And this shows where the section that's going to be rezoned to MR, and it's on the west side of Griffith Marina Road. Next slide. Again, about 2019, there was a condominium approved on the site by the Planning Commission of 71 units. And they're probably coming back in 2021 to get it reapproved again. The rezoning of that north 550 feet, it meets the minimum requirements for MR. It complies with the comprehensive plan and the future land use map. Again, with this rezoning, that entire, all that lot 2 will now be rezoned to MR. You won't have GB up north and MR down south. No staff conditions. Again, Planning Commission gave a favorable recommendation. If we go to the next slide, this just shows the map again, if you have any questions.
Let me ask in lay terms, what's the reason?
The right now is cannot with the residential and GB being likely a prohibition, and that they're wanting to come in, but you can do an MR. So when they come back in 2021 to get the reapproval for the condominium, it will have the correct zoning.
So if that remains GB, would affect their parking for the condos? If the condos are in the blue zone?
No.
It will not.
We have a moratorium.
Okay.
One thing I do want to point out in Alexander Community Development is there's only a certain developable part of this property. This is significant a part of this property is wetlands, and there's this high bluff that's developable. And I don't know if it's clear on the, but it's basically right.
Sorry, trying to blow it up for you.
Right in here.
So in essence, what we're approving is not necessarily a change in zoning. We're approving a condo association because without this change, that doesn't occur at this point.
With the moratorium, it cannot. And there's some plans in the future to address the zoning ordinance, to address the issues that there have been problems with the residential and the GB zoning.
Is it one property owner?
Yes, it's Mr. Breyers. You know Mr. Breyers. Yes. This is a Breyers property. It's been in the family for a very long time.
Good afternoon, Ursel Godwin, Sawgrass Consulting. So we represent Coleman Breyers, the developer, owner of the property. Basically, a little history on this site. As Griffin pointed out, 2019, we got a site plan approval for 72 condos. Basically, it's three buildings, 24 units each, so they're pretty low rise, low density type condos. As Kit pointed out, the majority of the property is actually a wetland. There's a large high area right in the middle there that the buildings are actually being constructed on. The reason that Coleman has not started construction yet is twofold. One, it took a while for us to get state lands and the Corps and so forth to permit, hit the riparian rights and riparian lease for his boat slips that'll be out and Terry Cove there, so that was sort of holding things up. And then, of course, you roll into COVID and Sally and all of that kind of good stuff, and it's kind of just perpetually moved it down the line. But where they are right now, they're in the middle of what they call their fair housing review for the buildings, which makes sure that they meet all the fair housing requirements that the federal government puts in place. So they have every intention of building it. It's just we're running tight, you know, on time related to the site plan as it's currently approved. So the hope was they'd be able to break ground before the end of the year, but Sally's sort of pushing them back on that. So trying to be a little prudent here and get ahead of the whole GB and residential development in GB, we thought it was a good idea to go ahead and rezone to MR. We're not trying to ask for any new units, additional units, no increase in density, nothing like that. It's just if we come back in 2021, then just basically ask for a new approval of the site plan. We didn't want to get tripped up with a moratorium on GB if that was in place at the time. So,
okay, explain to me the fair housing. What are you talking about?
Fair housing is where they go through and do an evaluation of, you know, make sure that the doorways are all designed so that a wheelchair can
move.
Who does that? The HUD does that.
Why are they involved in this?
I don't know. It's something that with architecture, and it's required. It's not HUD. It's not HUD housing. It's not low income housing. It's none of that. It's just a requirement that HUD has with condos.
I never heard of it. Never heard of HUD most dealing with any condos.
They're
confused.
They will. They look at if there's a chance for rental and things like that. They have to evaluate it. I wish if Stan McCullough were here, I'd let Stan elaborate on that.
Yeah, because I'd like to really understand exactly what we're talking about.
Sure.
It's important to me. I don't know about y'all.
But there's no...
I know exactly what we're building.
Right. There is no... This is not considered HUD in the sense of low income or any of that kind of stuff. These will be, you know, individually sold units to individual users. So it's not a...
So it's a traditional condo?
It's a traditional condo. This is basically this review prevents them from getting sued by, you know, these groups of attorneys that come through and say, oh, this is not ADA compliant. This is not, you know, this closet's too deep. This door is not wide enough. It's things like that. That's what their review is.
Okay. Well, then what I'd like, please, is get Stead to call Kit.
I will.
And Kit, will you thoroughly vet this and explain it to me? You would.
Yes. But I can assure you it's not low income, low housing. It's not
I never
kind of.
Well, I never really called my guard and HUD made my antenna go up immediately.
Yeah, we go through it on all the condos. It's the Fair Housing Act. It's basically just a review of the Fair Housing Act guidelines, similar to what you do with ADA on commercial jobs. Anything more than four units on a site goes through the same thing, but it's through Fair Housing.
Okay. As long as you know where we're going and what we're doing. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you.
But Kit, this is part of that whole water basin that goes all the way down to Latos, correct? Is that the water that goes through that northern piece? You say there's not a lot of developable land in that piece.
What we have is water, right?
Correct.
Yeah, we have a large swath of wetlands here.
Right.
And yes, we have like 300 acres
that comes down through here.
And then we have this very high bluff and then wetlands again. And it's just this strip here. Frankly, if you haven't been on the property, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of property on the island. When you go there, you can't even tell you're on the island, except for in the overlook. It's just really, really, and they want to do these condos that have a view. It's really going to be quite amazing. But yeah, we do have a large drainage basin that comes through. And then I can't see, I think this is Wacoff's property right here. It comes through
and then out through
this location, yeah.
Yes,
but this won't impact that at all. That will all come on this.
So will Coleman and y'all in the future, will y'all's marina, what, that little portion of the yellow that's on the water down there, is that where your marina will come out?
Yes.
Didn't the one right next to it just get approval on a bunch of slips, like 70-something slips?
What's that?
You're talking about the Aragon property?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has not come through the city.
Okay.
We're still waiting. They're still working things out.
No, I'll leave that to the court. That's
we have to go through a lot of riparian work, boundary surveys, you know, establishing riparian boundary, you know, all of that sort of stuff with state lands because it is sort of in that little cove area. So that was some of the time associated with them holding up construction, with state lands getting their arms around all that.
I don't believe this approval for what they're proposing to do has been granted as of yet.
Okay. And forgive me, I'm missing something here. Your zone general business, you're approved through the general business zoning to build what you're proposing.
Mm-hmm. When you're zoned MR,
MR
and GB.
You can build residentials in GB, correct. We had that prohibition and we withdrew it, and then we immediately placed a moratorium that we've extended prohibiting residential in any general business zoning district.
I understand.
Yes. He's wanting to take his
one
piece of property wants to take and make it one whole zone.
MR.
One MR zone.
So he just wants to make the top match the bottom.
I got you.
Because he has no restrictions in MR.
Yeah, I just need to understand what MR offers him that general business is not. We're not constantly.
It's actually better for us.
And I'm zoning gets it, is what I'm getting.
I don't think it's not. We wouldn't necessarily be up zoning.
It's not enough.
Basically, we've got more. Actually, have more leeway in GB than we do in MR.
We do.
And that's what I'm trying to.
Right. So exactly what we want to do is obviously we just want to continue the same cycle now, right? So under MR, we would be afforded those same rights to develop the site plan as approved. What we want to avoid is, if we can't break ground before this site plan expires, we want to be able to come back to the Planning Commission, get it reapproved, and move forward with the construction. If the moratorium comes into place as it's currently zoned, then we got a hurdle to get over. So we're trying to get ahead of that and be prudent about getting MR just to allow the development of the condos.
So because of those wetlands are so, you're not going to be able to add a whole lot more to it.
We're 72 units is all we can do up there.
I mean, it's
the only thing that Marine Resort Mayor allows outside of what GB allows is the marine activity. And because this is GB, that's not going to affect from an upzoning.
Does Marine Resort, and I should know, does it allow apartments?
Yes.
Then we're undoing what we're doing, because GB does not.
But the majority of this is all wetlands. We're talking about this portion right here.
It doesn't matter. The point is, in general business, he cannot build apartments.
Correct.
If you go to MR, he can. So we just undone what we put the moratorium in place for.
Technically, he can, but there's a moratorium in place for us to work that out. So
not under MR.
Right. Under MR, he can. Under GB, he still can, too. There's just a moratorium.
My point is, they're going to move from one zoning that doesn't allow X to another zoning that does allow X.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The zoning does allow apartments. There's just a moratorium on it that doesn't allow it.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But there's a reason the moratorium is in place.
Correct.
The moratorium end game is to get where you don't
correct
allow
apartments. Well, I just want to make sure
I'm sorry. And I do. My point is, now you're going from one zoning doesn't allow it to another zoning that does. So that is an upzone. That is an upzoning in whatever the building may be.
I don't even know if there's enough property there to develop.
First of all, I don't know that any or I don't know that you can call a moratorium up zone. Because it's by virtue of it, it's temporary.
But there's a reason it's in place, and in place is to eliminate.
Now, if we were to change that allowance under GB and eliminate that, that would be an upzone.
That's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
So, Mayor, I'll say this. The majority of the developable property currently is MR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just this right here that's in the GB right here.
That's right. So
this is all wetlands, and then this is the upland right here, and then this is the uplands right
here. Why didn't you say that earlier? I missed that. I'm good.
Basically, all we're trying to do is just avoid the hurdle of when you got a third of your property.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Moratorium.
So, I'm sorry, I missed that.
You're not going to come back in here and say, it's not to do something different.
That's exactly right. It's to get this project forward.
Okay. I missed that. I apologize.
That's
just wasted y'all's time.
No, that's
good.
That's good.
So that makes sense to me now.
Good.
Thank you. But this is a public hearing.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So if y'all have any other questions.
Anyone else like to join in?
Thank you, Ursula. I appreciate it. Thank Coleman.
Thank you, Ursula.
Then we'll close the public hearing. Anybody else got anything? Okay. Hopefully I'll do a better job than this. Public hearing, the Ridge at Wilmore PUD. Griffin.
Yeah, this is a planning unit development request at 23708 Perdido Beach Boulevard. It's across the street from the Alabama Gulf Coast Convention Visitors Bureau. Property is zoned RS1 now, and this is approval request for preliminary and final PUD to rezone 1.39 acres from RS1 to planned unit development to remove the existing house and to construct two new single family houses with swimming pools and parking. The Plan Commission considered this at their meeting last month, gave it a favorable recommendation on a 5-0 vote. We go to the next slide. Again, this PUD is for two single-family houses. The maximum density in the RS1 is two dwellings. By right, the owner has two options, can build one single-family house or can do two single-family houses. There's a third option, but that's conditional use, and that would be for one duplex. The comprehensive plan future land use designated property for residential mix that complies, this PUD complies. Each house will have a footprint of more than 1,800 square feet and gross floor area of more than 4,100 square feet. Each house will be three stories in height. Each house will have seven sleeping rooms. They're required to have seven parking spaces. They're doing eight parking spaces, six will be exterior spaces, and two will be underneath the structure. More than 57% of the site will be dedicated to a natural landscape area, and the PUD will have a pedestrian-oriented area out along 182. If we go to the next slide, we get into the deviations from the zoning ordinance. It's being requested, and that's when you have more than one building on a piece of property and the two sidewalls are facing each other, there has to be 20-foot separation. They're requesting 10. Now, by right, they can build, as I said, two houses. They can put one near the road, one near the beach, but they're wanting to put them side by side to save habitat area near the beach area. The plans that you have shows a side setback of 8.56 feet. At the Planning Commission, probably a couple of days before the Planning Commission, they had the site resurveyed, and they've actually gained four additional feet. So that request for the deviation to the side setback, they've done away with that. They say they can meet that 10-foot side setback. So the only deviation being requested is to that 20-foot sidewall separation. Next slide. This shows the aerial map showing the site location. If we go to the next slide, these are drone footages of the site. Yes, beachfront across from the CBB. And if we go to the next slide, this shows the master plan showing the house location and the parking in front. The driveway is down to 182. You also see the landscape plan. Next slide. These are just house elevations provided by the applicant. Next slide. Staff conditions addressing the vacation rentals, they're in the beach overlay, so they are allowed, but we just need it stated on the master plan. PUD meeting the 10-foot size requirements, the Planning Commission stipulated that, and doing any consultation with Fish and Wildlife regarding coastal permitting. And if we go to the next slide, I think that's just another slide on the master plan, landscape plan. So if you have any questions.
Thank you, Griffin. Anybody have a question? Thank you. Open the floor if anybody has any comments. Okay. Close the public hearing. All right. Let's move to ordinance as a first reading. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Coastal Beach Development.
Move for unanimous consensus.
Some
rules to allow for immediate consideration of this
ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennedy?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance based upon staff acceptance of the fence that they y'all just find an appropriate measure for that.
And staff and the closing.
Well, it has to be staff comments, period.
All the staff comments, period, in addition to an amiable conclusion for the fence.
Okay. Thank you.
And the closing of the property.
Yeah. Is that part of staff conditions? Or is that a separate clause altogether?
The fencing?
Needs to be stated. No. The closing.
That's a separate item in the ordinance, and it's in the ordinance currently. So if you're good with that language, you can just approve the ordinance as written.
Oh, okay.
The only thing that I'll list in a minute to separate is the buffer of the fence.
Okay.
Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
All right, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes. They go find the money. Get it done. All right. First reading. Ordinance amending number 172, Harbor Club, portion of Lot 2, rezoning.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes. Okay. First reading. The Ridge at Romar PUD. Did I miss something?
No. Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call
the roll.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes.
Was that one subject to the staff comments, the three staff comments that were...
Did we have staff conditions on that one?
Well, there were three comments there at the end.
Their staff recommendations.
Yes. So you would have, the motion Chris. Should be, if you Chris. Accept them, per staff conditions.
Chris.
Chris.
Mm-hmm. Can you open that ordinance?
Go back to this one?
Is it?
Yes. Thank you. I just want to see it.
If it's in the...
Okay, I don't think this one had...
Three.
Oh, yeah, those three.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Thank okay. you.
Thank you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Ordinance to exempt certain items, municipal sales tax, use tax, last full weekend of February, severe weather preparedness, sales tax holiday.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow for immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes. Ordinance to exempt certain covered items. Generally referred to as back to school sales tax holiday, third full weekend of July.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion?
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes. Okay. Before we adjourn, there's one thing we forgot to talk about. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I can't believe you forgot that.
We're going to go tiger hunting this weekend, though.
Does it almost seem like SEC football is not real this year?
Well, for you, it's not.
For your helmet.
We have built a national championship team, but we're going to rebuild it. Don't you worry about it.
What's happening?
5:30.
They'd like to put you on the field if you were jamming. All right. Okay, we'll adjourn and move right to the media hole. So,
Do I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned and we'll start the committee of the whole Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Sullivan, Johnson, Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Kenney.
Here.
No, you don't have to leave.
Thank you all. All right, consideration of previous minutes for committee of the whole. The regular council meeting 11-17-2020 move forward for review. Moving to new business. I'm just going to read these so y'all stop me where you want to stop. Resolution appropriating funds, teacher, coach salaries not to exceed $50,000. Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement, socialize your business, social media consulting, and marketing services. Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement. Shazam Interactive website development. Resolution authorizing renewal of software service agreement, site improvement, to monitor city's website and improve performance. Resolution appropriating funds to the Gulf Shores Airport Authority in amount not to exceed $75,000. I think we're all you like that.
Yeah, and Mayor, I just wanted to say just a couple of things. Number one, our contribution has always been earmarked toward marketing of the airport, and so when we have been working with airlines even before being approved for the terminal and the tower, and so the tower is approved and it's under construction right now. So Elite Airlines is committing to come. So this additional money is going to help solidify that relationship. It'll be a direct flight from Gulf Shores, Orange Beach to Nashville to start out with, because that is where the activity was shown by the consultant to be the first place that we should be going. But this will be helping to market that, and because they will have to have a minimum number of people flying on each flight just to justify, because this plane will be a 70-passenger jet, and it's about $6,400 an hour to operate. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that this additional appropriation is going to help solidify getting Elite here, and that way it opens the door for, because we're already dealing with some more airlines that are looking at coming. But it's going to take a time for it to build and to get people to used to going to here to fly somewhere versus going to Pensacola or Mobile. So
is the fare going to be a similar fare to what would be commercially in Pensacola?
It would be a little higher.
A little higher.
So you're going to be saying it's convenient for me to go here and safe to go here.
Gotcha.
But it'll be in the ballpark. Yeah. But we're not going to put a dent in Pensacola or Mobile's traffic. But it'll just be this is going to be convenience, and they'll end up flying to Orlando and Atlanta and other places. It's just we got to get them here and get them off the ground and justify that there's enough traffic to justify them paying their cost to be here.
Do you anticipate them asking for any additional funds in 2021?
Yeah. I don't anticipate sure right now, but it could be. Yes. Why not? Mm-hmm.
Well, we're being very generous.
We are, and the board is very, very appreciative.
I think at the groundbreaking there was discussion that as others begin to look and they look at other markets, all of those things kind of come into play. The key is the tower. And for the public, we were going from 35 to 70.
That's right. That's right.
I don't want to keep funding something that may not work. I'm hoping it does, but I'm hoping that people have got to buy into it and use it. We can't keep subsidizing.
Right. So you put 64 people on that flight for $100, and they put 16 on that flight for $400 to cover just the cost.
That's right.
So
that's right. Right now,
they're going to be flexible.
Yeah. What the consultant has projected, they need 56 of the 70 seats to be used regularly.
Yes.
So I think everybody knows that that's a so.
Okay.
But anyway, I do appreciate the support, though. I do think it's the thing to do.
Hopefully this will help them get it going.
And realistically, they and the board realizes that the most of the traffic that comes through JKA comes to Orange Beach. So you need to realize that. I mean, it's the majority of the traffic in JKA.
So we should probably have another seat on that board.
There you go, Mr. Mitchell.
There you go. That's good.
any other funding may come with that request.
What is saying. And I should know the makeup, but what is the makeup of the board? Gilshore's RGB.
Jerry's the only one.
I'm the only one from RGB. You have Jason Dockin and Joe Garris are on the from representing Gilshore. Then you have, of course, you have Herb from CBB. And then you have a pilot, Edgar. I remember Edgar's last name anyway. He serves just from a looking at it from a pilot standpoint. And then, of course, Vic Roberts is the chair.
What is there a contribution that Gulf Shores has lately? Is it commercial dollars?
Yes. Yes. Where are they? Probably. I think they're right now. Yeah.
And aren't getting the staff on their payroll?
They've been.
Isn't the airport staff on the payroll of Gulf Shores?
I know.
So that's, the board that's separate
is,
to
the authority is totally independent of Gulf Shores.
But they've been donating to the airport for years, I believe.
Yes, the city has. The city has.
They've subsidized for a while.
Yeah.
Well, not more than subsidized, but they.
No, I don't consider it subsidizing right now because the board is completely independent. I mean, they are, you know, financially in very good shape. And they can sustain it because they have a property to lease. They don't sell the property, they lease it, so that sustains the income. And so, you look around at the locals, Bowley and Fairhope and Gulf Shores. There's a lot year difference between Gulf Shores and those other two because the other two do not make money. And so Fairhope has to subsidize just the operations of that airport. We don't subsidize. This is strictly for economic development and marketing that gives them the ability to bring in airlines and to just market it across the Southeast.
All right. Resolution authorizing the execution of performance contract with Baldwin County Economic Alliance. The resolution to execute professional service agreement with Bob Riley and Associates for lobbying services. The resolution authorizing execution of professional service agreements with Ben Skoyak Consulting Services.
On those two, were there any changes in the salaries?
No change. Okay, thank you. Resolution awarding Sergeant Charles Athey his duty ribbon and badge as part of his retirement. Really appreciate it. He's been with us a long time.
Absolutely.
And hopefully he's going to stay over this part time. Resolution authorizes the purchase of a compact utility trailer for Parks and Recreation. $31,758.60. Resolution authorizes the execution of a voluntary corporate agreement at Scambia County Sheriff's Office.
Can I go back to 9 for a second?
Mm-hmm.
So he was one of 6 of the original left, and the 2 in the back room are 2 of the 5 that are left.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Resolution adopting a take-home vehicle policy for the City of Orange Beach. Resolution appointing City Attorney. Resolution appointing attorneys for 2021. Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement with TTL. Resolution authorizing execution of passport with TTL. Gulf Oak Ridge Trail realignment, $38,950. Ordinances, ad valorem taxation, general obligation rate, to correct ad valorem tax rate to 4 mils. I think that's something probably you speak. After the oil spill in 10, I think we voted to add the 5th mil for 1 year and have sunset, just because at that time we didn't know what our revenues were going to be. It did sunset, we did not renew it. It has been 4 mil since, but I think, Renee, did you find out, did we actually ever collect that 5th mil?
We never collected it.
So even though we put it in place, we did not collect the 5th mil. So anyway, that's what that's all about. So there's no increase in taxes, there's no change, it's just...
Just the correct
collection. Yes, yeah.
And at that time, that was probably 600 to 700,000.
Set a public hearing date for Popeye's Orange Beach, PUD.
That's north of Dollar General, correct?
Yes.
North of Dollar General,
right here.
Rose Lane.
What is that zone? That's neighborhood business.
Neighborhood business.
Is it even zoned for restaurant drive through?
It has to get a conditional use or PUD in order to be a restaurant.
set a public hearing date. Zeke's Landing PUD modification for additional parking. All these are 1/5/2021. Public hearing date, Bel Air Towers relocation at Mariner Lakes PUD. Y'all good with all those?
Yes.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to go into executive session for update on potential litigation and real estate.
Do you want to take public comments or?
We don't have to amend the rules until I finish the motion.
I'm sorry.
So do you need to do your disclaimer?
I do.
Okay, please.
Yeah, second. Did somebody move?
I make a motion that we go into special session to discuss ongoing litigation.
And real estate.
And real estate.
Second.
Okay.
So I'll give you the disclaimer. Under Alabama law, to meet an executive session to discuss litigation requires a disclaimer from the, a certification from the lawyer. I'm a lawyer, I'm licensed to practice law, and I give you the certification that it's appropriate for you to go into session for that purpose.
Okay. Another government-mandated waste of 30 seconds an hour. So, thank you for that one.
You're welcome.
And okay. All right. Now we'll open up the floor.
Can we get a vote?
Yeah, well, I like to do it this one.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right, now we'll open the floor. Anybody?
See y'all at 5:30.
We'll be there at 5:30. Bell's on. Sorry. Bam, thank you for coming, buddy. From God's country, all the way to Tuscaloosa, buddy. Thank you.
John,
anybody?
Third annual gingerbread gym this Saturday.
Okay. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay, we're going to executive session for 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll see you there.
So we're going to Roseway and Western Lake Clinic. Right there.